We're going to open tonight in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, if you want to take your Bibles there. In the Gospel of John, Jesus Christ encouraged people to search the Scriptures, letting them know that they are they which testify of me, of him, Christ. That word search is a real wonderful word. It's used like a bloodhound or a dog would get on a scent and then trace the scent and just search it out wherever it might lead. And oftentimes when you study the Bible, that's what you do. You get on a scent, you get on something of interest, and you start studying it out, and it leads somewhere. An exciting thing is that as you get these different searches and make these different tracings of the word, they start to overlap. And then you start to see patterns and bigger picture. And I think what we're going to look at tonight will be in that category where we'll see some things that start overlapping in a real wonderful way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, in verse 1, Paul, by revelation, says, "Be followers of me." Now, it's really a pretty remarkable statement for a guy to say. And this is, remember, by revelation, that we are to be followers of Paul. Some might even think that's sort of sacrilegious or something. Oh, well, you know, well, what about Jesus? What about following God? What about following his word? But you got to keep reading, of course. It says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." So Paul followed Christ, and if we follow Paul, then we're following Christ. And that word followers is imitators. I know that oftentimes people think of Jesus Christ as being the Christian's example, which of course he is. But there were certainly many, many things that Jesus Christ was called on to do, most notably the redeeming work that of his laying down his life, that you and I will never have to do, praise the Lord. And so many ways in our administration of grace, our example to follow is Paul. Isn't there a little, I think it's a abbreviation or something, WWJD or something, what would Jesus do? Well, we could also from this verse make it WWPD, I guess, what would Paul do? So Paul is given as an example for us to follow, for us to imitate. And to see that, look at Acts chapter 17. So much of the book of Acts, and certainly the church epistles, are a revelation of Paul, revelation given to Paul, and much of it is about Paul. In Acts chapter 17, is a wonderful part of one of his missionary journeys. In verse 1, it says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews." So Thessalonica is a city in Greece. This is the first time that Christianity is being introduced to this part of Europe. It comes to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And then it says, "And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." So this gives us a glimpse as to what Paul's manner was, this word manner is also translated custom. It means the way he lived, his manner of life, his lifestyle. Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them three Sabbath days and reasoned with them out of the scriptures. So he gets to Thessalonica. Where does he go? He goes into the synagogue. And when he gets to the synagogue, what's he do? He reasons with them out of the scriptures. This is what we're to imitate. You know, maybe in our day and time, that could include going into a church, could, going into others' fellowships. But the key is that what he did, wherever he went, is that he shared God's word. He reasoned with them out of the scriptures. Now we're going to come back to Acts chapter 17, so you might put a pigtail here, and we'll come back in a little bit. But look at the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. So we're looking at the example of Paul. Paul, as his manner was, went into them in the synagogue and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. But we're to imitate that example because he imitated Christ. He was a follower of Christ. And that can be put together. This is one of those wonderful threads that overlaps in Luke chapter 4. It says, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, his hometown, and as his custom was, this is the same word as the word manner in Acts 17. Jesus came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as his manner or his custom was, he went into where? The synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. See, what do you think he's going to read? And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he stopped. This is reading from Isaiah 61. We know from comparing this section of scripture with the original in Isaiah 61 that particular sentence goes on to talk about the day of wrath, that which is coming in the revelation period. But Jesus Christ rightly divided the word. He stopped, preached the acceptable year of the Lord, period, and he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. So what was the manner of Christ? Well, part of his manner was to go into the synagogue and stand up for to read, like we just read. Certainly, part of his manner was to rightly divide the word of truth. And really, what he's doing is he's proclaiming himself, what the word of God says about himself. You know, you can share portions of God's word with people that pertain to all aspects of life. But the major thread, as these threads overlap and you start to see a tapestry of God's word, it concerns Christ. And that's what Jesus did. It's what Paul did. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. So Paul gets to Thessalonica, and as his manner was, went into the synagogue for to read. Share the word of God with them concerning Christ, as we'll see. But this is spoken of his coming to Thessalonica, spoken of at the beginning of 1 Thessalonians. It says in verse 5, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men, there it is again, what manner of men we were among you for you sake. Again, tied to them bringing the gospel. And ye became followers of us, became imitators of Paul, Silas, Timothy, those that brought the word of God to Thessalonica. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. And this so oftentimes is how it works when a person is getting into the Word, is they become a follower of a person who's more mature in the Word. You know, they have an example to follow. If that person is walking with God, then you're learning from him or her, and you start following their example, and you become a follower of the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. Now, throughout this, all concerning Paul's manner of life, Paul's example, concerning the way that he traveled, as well as with Jesus Christ, it all centers around God's word, the sharing of the word. So, look at this. It says, so that ye became examples to all them that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. So Paul exemplified Christ to them by sharing the word of God with them, and they started following his example, and they became examples. And they became examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. I remember working this many years ago and understanding this is an area about the size of Great Britain. It's a large geographical area. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your believing the God word is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. You know, Paul, Silas, Timothy, they initiated it, but the others started following it, and they were carrying the ball themselves. And then it says, for they themselves, the people that the Thessalonians had witnessed to, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. Look at that phrase, the manner of entering in that Paul and company had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. What a fantastic thing. As they shared the word with these people who believed in Thessalonica, they turned from their idols. They got rid of the junk, all the devil spirit worship and other things associated with that religion. They turned from idols to serve the living and true God. And now they had the hope of Christ's return. They were waiting for a Son from heaven, whom God raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 1 of chapter 2 says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you, that it was not in vain. So some of these threads that are overlapping is Paul's manner of life, Jesus' manner of life that became the manner of life of the Thessalonians, how Paul entered in sharing the word of God, sharing from the scriptures. That's what Jesus had done. And here again it says, for yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in. In verse 9 of chapter 1, it called it our manner of entering. Our manner of entering in unto you, that our entrance in unto you was not in vain. It was powerful. It caused them to turn from idols to serve the living true God and to wait for Christ to come back from heaven with the hope. Now, let's go back to Acts chapter 17. Isn't it wonderful how these varied scriptures tie together and you start seeing the pattern? In Acts chapter 17, again, where we started, it says in verse 1 again, now when we had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And specifically, let's see what he reasoned with them from the scriptures. It says, verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. This is part of Paul's entering into Thessalonica. From the word of God, he shared with them that Christ must needs have suffered. he shared with them the suffering Christ and risen again from the dead, that Christ must needs have risen again from the dead, shared the resurrection. He shared the sufferings of Christ and the resurrection of Christ. And then it says, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. You know, there's a lot of different things, as I mentioned earlier, that you can share from God's word. But Paul's manner, Jesus' manner, was to share Christ, to share the central theme, the focal point of the word, that Christ must needs have suffered and that Christ rose from the dead. And then it says in verse 4, again, this is Paul's manner of entering into Thessalonica. Some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Now, these are the people of the synagogue. But the Jews which believed not, so there were some that believed, most didn't. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them lewd fellows of the baser sort. Don't you love that phrase? What a description of some really despicable people. Lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city in an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Look at what the unbelievers say about Paul and company. These that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. They recognize the impact they're having. Now, they weren't appreciating it. But these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. You know, you might have heard this. You know, it's a good thing when the world gets turned upside down, because it's kiddywampus or upside down to begin with. Keep your finger here. Let's go to the 146th Psalm. Psalm 146, another beautiful thread that overlaps with what we're looking at. Psalm 146. It says in verse 9, the Lord preserves the strangers. He relieves the fatherless and widow. That's how loving and kind our Lord is. But the way of the wicked, he turns upside down. See, and that certainly is the case of Paul and the others that traveled with him as they went around and shared the scriptures, is they were turning the world upside down. But really what they were turning upside down was the wicked. And these lewd fellows of the baser sort, these Jews that didn't believe. But what a great verse, huh, from Psalm 146. Let's go back to Acts chapter 17. It says, and when they found Paul and the others not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also, whom Jason hath received, and these do all contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. This gives you insight into something else that Paul preached, as his manner was, is that he preached Jesus Christ as king. And then it goes on, verse 8, it says, and they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the others, they let him go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither, what did they do? They go and hide? No, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. And then it says, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. Now, the these in verse 11, that are more noble than those in Thessalonica has to be understood in its context. Because in so many ways, in the Word of God, the believers at Thessalonica are held out as the model church. And you could see that if you pursue reading 1 and 2 Thessalonians, a model church to whom no reproof or correction was addressed. You know, very wonderful church in Thessalonica, but this is talking about the people in the synagogue, right? These in the synagogue were more noble than those in the synagogue in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. Well, what were they searching the scriptures? Because that's what Paul and Silas and Timothy were sharing. And they were checking it out to see, is that really what it says? And lo and behold, it did. And then it says, therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men, not a few. So this gives you an idea of Paul's entering into a city, what he was doing, how he was imitating Christ, what he was sharing. But to put it together, remember in verse 3, the heart of his message was that he was opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered. First, the suffering of Christ. And then it says that Christ must needs have risen again from the dead, the risen Christ. And then in verse 7, that this Jesus is king. You know what that's referring to? When will Jesus Christ be King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's when he returns. So at the heart of Paul's message from the scripture is that Christ must suffer, have risen from the dead, and that Christ will return. The suffering Christ, the risen Christ, and the returning Christ. Now to see even greater detail of this, look at John chapter 10. That was the message that Paul preached. We should be imitators of Paul, like he was of Christ. In John chapter 10, look at this. Jesus Christ said, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The Word of God declares Jesus Christ as a shepherd to Israel. And here it says, I am the good shepherd. And how is the good shepherd characterized? Verse 11, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. You know what that is? That's the suffering Savior that Paul preached. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep because Christ must needs have suffered. To see this as another wonderful thread, look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 also speaks of Jesus Christ as the shepherd. And it's in verse 20. It says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead the risen Christ. Now, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. So the Word of God declares Jesus Christ as the good shepherd who gave his life for the sheep, the suffering Savior. Here, Jesus Christ as the great shepherd of the sheep who is brought again from the dead, the risen Christ. And then to see how this culminates, look at 1 Peter chapter 5. This is what Paul preached. He preached Christ as a suffering Savior, here the suffering shepherd, as having risen from the dead, the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter chapter 5, it says, and when the chief shepherd. Well, we've seen about the good shepherd and the great shepherd. Now it refers to him as the chief shepherd. And verse 4 of 1 Peter chapter 5, again, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. What's that talking about? The returning Savior. You know, this is the complete Savior, Jesus Christ, the one that suffered, the good shepherd that laid down his life for the sheep. He is the one that must needs have risen from the dead, the great shepherd, whom God raised from the dead, and also the chief shepherd, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 4, when the chief shepherd shall appear, when he returns, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Jesus Christ returning as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is what Paul preached, the complete gospel. And it centers around, it concerns Christ. And as you work God's word, you'll start seeing more and more how Jesus Christ has accomplished everything for man's salvation. And that's what the message that he's committed unto us to share, so that we can follow in Paul's footsteps, follow the example of our Lord Jesus Christ by sharing the scriptures concerning him. So Heavenly Father, thank you for the wonderful word that once again we have the privilege of reading and opening, and Father, understanding some of, Father, how it just portrays your wonderful Son Jesus Christ as being so good and great and chief, and Father, that his work is complete for each and every person that believes. So Father, we're thankful, and what a message we have to share as we go into our lives day by day. And Father, thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He's coming back.